First, though, we're going to look at some of the changes coming into place tomorrow. And a key one of that is that motorists will face slightly higher prices at the bowser. The federal government's fuel excise discount will be halved to 16 cents a litre. So that will flow through over the coming weeks, that we'll see petrol prices rise a little bit. Tension in the Middle East between the United States and Iran over the Strait of Hormuz do remain. And that means there's uncertainty about future fuel supplies and costs. Federal Energy Minister Chris Bowen says a lasting peace deal can't come soon enough.
We want this dispute to come to a close so that the world can go back to normal, to much more normal arrangements. We've seen some progress, some encouraging signs, but there's a lot more obviously to go, and we just need to remain focused on our own task of ensuring our own fuel security during this international uncertainty.
That's Energy Minister Chris Bowen speaking over the weekend. Matt Halliday is the CEO and Managing Director of fuel importer, refiner and retailer Ampol. Matt Halliday, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks. Good morning.
Now, with petrol excise changing as of tomorrow, what impact should motorists expect to see on the price of petrol at the bowser?
Yeah, I think the government has done the reinstatement of the excise in two phases. So as that excise is reinstated, that will start to flow through prices through those two stages.
Do you think that's a good strategy, doing it in a staged way? Is there a risk that there'd be a rush for petrol, as we've seen in the past, if everyone knew that the full excise amount was coming back on in one go?
Yeah, I think it's a sensible strategy to break it into two parts. And we saw at the outset of the Middle East conflict, there was a fair bit of panic buying that did put supply chains under pressure. I think supply chains and Ampol's supply chain held up very well, but we wouldn't want to see a recommencement of that. So doing it in two stages makes sense.
Mm. Are you concerned that when we hear the latest news coming out of the Middle East and Iran insisting that it needs to maintain control over the Strait of Hormuz, if that looks like the Iran imposing tolls or fees on that trade route, what does that suggest to you as someone who's really relying on that flow of tankers around the globe in a freeway? What would be the flow-on effect for your industry if we did have tolling on global sea routes?
Yeah, I think we've learned over the last number of months how critical the Strait of Hormuz has been, particularly to the Asian refiners that we buy from. But the overall market is very flexible and has held up actually very well, and our supply chains have held up very well. It's been good to see there's been progress made, but it remains very fragile. And so I think it's important that we're not complacent about that, which we're not.
Supply has still been able to flow, but there's been the cost impact. So I presume tolls or restraints in that fashion would continue to put pressure on global pricing. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think there is the risk to supply whenever adjustments are made like that, and clearly that's a key point that will be addressed in the ongoing negotiations that are making progress but are pretty fragile.
How have you gone in terms of diversifying where you purchase from? Have you had to look much more abroad to more novel areas to purchase during this global uncertainty of recent months?
Yeah, so Ampol is focused on supplying Australia and New Zealand. So it's focused on how we source our fuel into these markets. We have our own trading and sourcing capability in Singapore and Houston, and that gives us the ability to source not only in the Asian region but much further afield. And we've been doing a lot more of that, both for crude oil for our Lytton refinery and also for refined products coming much more from the US and other markets.
And do you think that will remain in the future, having a greater proportion of that material coming from places like Houston and that part of the hemisphere in the future? Or are you looking to return to what things were like before the conflict broke out in Iran?
I think what we've demonstrated is we've got the flexibility and the adaptability to respond as the market changes. And so we're obviously always looking to both minimise cost, mm-hmm. so we can minimise the price of fuel coming into Australia, but equally manage the risk. And I think the key point is we can adjust our supply chain and we can go further afield to find the fuel when we need to.
On Radio National Breakfast, I'm speaking to Ampol CEO Matt Halliday. To support refining being viable in Australia, the federal government steps in to assist if the profit margin for refiners falls below a certain profit margin. For the first half of this year, do you expect that support, the fuel security services payment, will be required and will be paid to you and Viva Energy?
No, I don't, and no, it won't. I think what's really important is that we're able to invest for the long term. So we've invested over the last 3 years over $1 billion into the refinery, and when we look out long term, we need to continue to invest significantly more. And we understand that times can be challenging in refining because profit margins are very volatile. So in 2024, we lost money, was very tight in 2025, and we're investing money. So I think what's clear
it's
is
not
the
tight
refinery,
now, though. I mean, if that payment's not kicking in, you're doing just fine with profit margins is the outcome.
That's right, but it's very volatile. And so what we're trying to do in working with the government is ensure that we can invest for the long term so that the refineries are here to underpin the fuel resilience of the country over the long term.
So you've got the federal government that can step in when profits are volatile and they drop. We also have now the federal government underwriting purchases to make sure that supply is being come through. There hasn't been really any downside to this conflict for Ampol, has there?
No, I think what we've managed to do is ensure that the fuel keeps flowing. So our supply chains, the ability to source further afield. At times, diesel supply through our system was at 30% above normal levels to make sure that fuel could get to the local communities where it needed to be. And we've worked very closely with the Australian government, including through the Export Finance Australia arrangements, which ensures that we can buy more cargoes than we need for our own customer demand to mitigate against any issues that may arise.
How long is Ampol committed to keeping its Lytton refinery open?
So the existing arrangement with the government expires next year, and we're currently in discussions around how we can extend that for the long term, as I mentioned earlier, to make sure that we can continue to invest really hundreds of millions and billions of dollars of capital into the refinery so it can run for the long term.
Well, at the moment, you've got the government underwriting the downside risk of profits when the profit margin falls too low. You've got federal government support underwriting purchasing. Surely that kind of support is sufficient for Ampol to be able to give longer-term assurances about ongoing refining in the country?
Yeah, so what we're also doing is working with the government on storage. So the government in the recent federal budget announced steps to increase the level of storage in the country. And so we're working with them on kind of what that can look like to be delivered as efficiently as possible. And yes, we want to extend the refining arrangements for the long term so that we can continue making the investment that needs to be made in those assets, not for another few years, but for the longer term.
Are you asking the government to make this a risk-free proposition for Ampol to stay and to keep refining?
I think when you look at how much capital we've invested, so over the last 3 years, over $1 billion of capital, and when you look at kind of recent years, refining's been very challenging and we haven't taken any support from the government in terms of FSSP payments. So I think it's far from that.
And just a bit of a pivot, I want to ask you about the uptake of electric vehicles. Obviously, that's something we've seen a notable increase in Australia. Tell me about how Ampol approaches that. I mean, it could, if it continues at its current rate, mean a meaningful decrease in fuel consumption. What does that mean for your business model?
Yeah, I think it means a few things. One, going back to the refining question that you just mentioned, I think it puts more pressure on the petrol production coming out of the refinery over the long term. So that's an important element of investment we'll need to contemplate there. From an EV point of view, we've seen a sharp uptake, increase in uptake. So I think in last year, EV uptake in Australia was about 8% of new car sales, and I think year to date it's around 15%. So we've been investing in the rollout of EV public fast charging for about 5 years now. So this is not a new, not a new thing for us. We've now got 354 fast charging bays located around the country, and they're performing very well for us. So as more and more EVs come into the system, we think that the locations that we have, and importantly the connectivity to the electricity grid, coupled with our convenience offerings, are very much an offering for EV customers and fleet customers that is in demand.
Matt Halliday, I really appreciate you talking through these issues with me this morning. Thanks very much for joining me on Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.